if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say this was their finest hour.
We stand for Queen, Country, and Video Games. BRB UK. Worse teeth, better accents.
Welcome to the Big Red Barrel UK podcast, episode 268.5. Yes, that's right. It's a bonus episode. It's a bono episode. And I am Coleman. Hi. And that means we've got another interview for you. In fact, we got a couple of chaps on for an interview. So Mr. Timothy Kenneth James Hibbs will be interviewing people such as Sam Watts from Make Real, those folks behind Radio G and Loco Dojo. You may remember him. He's been on the show a bunch of times now. And also John Hibbins from SciTech Games, those behind the excellent Windlands and Crystal Rift. I believe it's Windlands 2 coming very soon as well. Maybe they'll talk about it. John has also been on the show before. He was on our EGX podcast a year ago, I believe. So, without further ado, you're going to hear a little noise, you're going to hear a Tim, you're going to hear a Sam, you're going to hear a Job. It's going to be really good, but that does mean they'll be talking a lot about VR, and if you're a regular listener to this show, you're going to know that Tim talks a lot about VR, to the point where you may fancy smashing your head in against a desk several times. Sorry, that's just my editing process. Anyway, yeah, you might be a bit sick of VR from this show, and, you know, you may read online, hey, VR's dead, or something like that. It's not. It's not. And this is a genuinely very interesting interview. I've listened through it already. I've done all the editing work. I've made it even more listenable than it previously was. So you should listen to it, if not, just to pay off for my hard work. But no, this is really good. You should give it a listen, which you can do so after this here noise. Go!
This is a slightly unusual podcast. You won't have heard me on our normal podcast this week. Mr. Coleman and Dan did a fine job of filling in and... taking you through the week's news, of which there'd been a bit. But I was absent because I was at Develop VR this week, having a look at some VR games and catching up with some VR tech and stuff and some talks. And I've managed to corner a couple of the people that are friends of the show that we ran into again there, basically. So yeah, we decided to record a little special podcast kind of covering that and diving into their games. Bit of a VR special. So if you're not interested in VR, you might want to run away now. But if you are interested in VR, this should be a pretty interesting episode. And returning to the show is Mr. Sam Watts.
Hello, good evening. And if you don't like VR, hopefully we can ensure that you will do by the end of this show.
Yeah, encourage you to do so. Yeah, let's go with that. And we also have Mr. John Hibbins.
Hello.
Hello.
VR's all right.
Yeah.
It's quite cool.
Well, I think my normal co-host kind of discouraged me from talking about VR, kind of. Discourage is the wrong word. Derail me from talking about VR as much as possible, just because I don't think they're quite as much believers as me. But I think you two will encourage that.
So a matter of time, isn't it? The more VR companies that EA snaps up, the more likely it is to go to mainstream, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, EA's had an odd run of support with VR at the moment. Seemed to support it at first and give away stuff for free, which is unlike EA.
Some huge stuff coming out right now. There's huge stuff coming out. I mean, we've got Doom VR, and we've got Skyrim VR and
Fallout 4.
At Develop, there was the new Sony game, which was awesome. Great game. I really enjoyed playing it.
Blood and Truth, which was one I was, I was glad to hear was available to play. Having just been announced at the Paris Games Week, it was a nice surprise when that was kind of announced. That was the big kind of headline VR game there.
Well, I doubt that many people played it. Epic stuff. I totally felt like John Wick. I was like, incredible production values in that game. Real Sony gem they've got there. Really cool.
Stuart White from the London Game Studios also gave the keynote address, opening keynote rather, at Develop VR as well. And I shouldn't have actually been in there, but I managed to sneak into a couple of the talks earlier in the day. And his keynote was actually quite interesting and delving into that. And exactly as you say, it was good. Well, it's probably good that you say that it felt like John Wick, because they did say that after the London heist, they were pulling away from the Cockney gangster thing a bit and going more for the kind of action movie. And they quoted John Wick as one of the things, 007 being another one, and Die Hard being the other.
They've done a totally amazing job of incepting you into feeling like a badass. just feeling really good at what you're doing. But it's, you know, requires a bit of skill to get through, but... No, it's great. It's great. It's really good.
And that's one of the really good things about VR, I think, is it's not just the kind of immersion. It's the player empowerment is where VR feels really good, basically. Is when you're doing something that makes you feel like you're doing it and it's giving you that kind of...
I had a big conversation with the Sony guys about exactly that. It's that there's this really, really difficult thing to do, which is very quickly to get you to embody something that you aren't. VR is it is its best when you feel like you are, you know, acting a different role, and a role that you wouldn't normally be able to do in real life is even better. So, you know, I am no John Wick in real life. That won't surprise you. I don't think I'm capable of diving across a room and jumping up behind and shooting 12 people in the head. But, you know, it makes you feel as though you are, because of the way that the game works. It's epic when you manage to pull off that whole feeling of embodying somebody else in an environment.
And I was a bit worried about the kind of node system that it had, because not a big fan of teleportation in games. It's okay and you can get used to it, but I'd rather have free movement. And this was a kind of sort of halfway house, and I don't mind that, and it kind of reminded me of a slightly more freeform Time Crisis, but in a good way.
It felt totally like Time Crisis, actually. You could compare the two. You sort of could look where you wanted to go, and then you press the move button and it would on rails move you to that position. But there were enough positions in every space that you felt like you had the choice, so you felt reasonably free moving. And honestly, I think you probably ended up in a better position for the way they've done it, because you always ended up in a, you know, rather than halfway out behind a pillow and getting shot to death because you didn't quite get it right, you actually end up in a really good spot.
They did say they varied the movement speed as well, so if you're moving at something that's further away, you'll move faster.
Yeah,
so that looked really interesting and cinematic and bombastic. And
I don't want to spoil it, but the demo ended with a classic and epic VR moment. They know the stuff in VR as well. They've practiced a lot, so you can see that the quality in VR is there.
Yeah, unfortunately, they kind of shown that bit in the, because it's the casino that you've seen in the trailer as well, and it ends with a bit they show in the trailer, but that's you crashing through the window, which feels really cool as well. And yeah, it, as you say, it's the classic kind of Hollywood moment, and yeah, it feels really good.
Yeah, and they've not overkilled it with like tons of dialogue and stuff. It's sort of, the dialogue doesn't get in the way. It just like, it takes you through it nicely. Yeah, good job there. I think that game's going to be well received.
Yeah, that was really encouraging for a game I was looking forward to.
Yeah, I played Farpoint last year, and I never felt that was a must-have for me.
I quite liked that, but...
I mean, I liked Farpoint. It was all right. I thought it was good, but by the time you've got the cost of the extra controller and all the pain of that, it's I just never felt like it was a must-have. Whereas this one is probably the first shooter I've felt like, yeah, I want this one. This one's pretty cool.
Well, Bravo Team Zero is one that's coming out as well, although that's been delayed, they've announced this week. But that's another one that I think is going to make good use of that aim controller as well, basically. And I like Dick Wild, which was a good fun one.
Sorry.
Did you not hear of Dick Wild?
No, I am aware of Dick Wild.
It's a very silly aim. Yeah, it's good fun game.
I'm not sure the world needs that many more shooters, so it's fine the way it is. Not unless Capcom are listening. I'm happy for them to bring out House of the Dead. Is it Capcom or Namco Bandai? One of those. House of the Dead, yes please. Time Crisis, yes please. Just bring out all of those. Make them good.
The other one that I think would work really well was House of the Dead Overkill.
Yeah.
Which I think would work really well in VR and stuff like that as well. Yeah, I'd like to see all those sort of light gun games come back. I'm a big fan of like those kind of games as well.
Yeah, and they basically are on rails, so they could learn a lot from what Sony is showing here, you know, moving from position to position. I totally think that Sony are nailing the Time Crisis movement that's required, that when...
But, yeah, and adding, you know, their own touch of flair and nice thing. I didn't get to shoot any of the fire extinguishers, which seemed to slow down time a bit as well, I think, but...
No, they were specifically told me to shoot them, but now... So I was too good. I was taking them down before there was any need. So it's, you know, in my John Wick character.
But I also liked the there was kind of dialogue choices and other stuff going on there. So yeah, that was really interesting. And yeah, you know, there's a big kind of headline game, which will hopefully raise the profile of VR in general as well, basically. And I guess you guys didn't make it to too many of the other talks throughout the day, being that you were busy manning your own stalls and exhibiting, basically.
No, unfortunately, we had tickets that allowed us to go to all the talks, but we were just too busy on the booth.
But no time to do so.
Exactly the same boat. I didn't see a single talk. I was just far too busy talking to people and doing what we do.
I only made it to one other talk, and that was from Andrew Williams of CCP. And I was a big fan of Eve Valkyrie. That was the game that kind of made me a believer in VR initially, basically. So it was interesting. He did a bit of a talk about appraisal of what it was like in his position making the game that they did, basically.
And in his position with a studio that's just been, put up for sale.
Well, yeah, and I don't know exactly what's happening with that. I did ask him if he's still with the studio for the foreseeable future, and he said for the foreseeable future. So we'll see what's going on there. But yeah, he's from CCP Newcastle, and obviously CCP's in a bit of transition at the moment, and that's a bit of a thing. But it still seems that they'll be supporting Eve.
I don't think Eve was all out of Newcastle, though. I mean, it was over in Vancouver, is that right?
Yeah, I think, but he was the lead game designer, so they definitely were, you know, heavily involved and stuff like that. But anyway, nevertheless, it was an interesting talk and kind of interesting. He talked about not incentivizing, not penalizing players and stuff like that, and yeah.
Well, CCP were a huge investment, I'm sure. I mean, they were obviously helped to produce that content, because it, you know, either internally giving a lot of money or just helping or whatever, and that's awesome. You know, I mean, it's exactly what the industry needs right up front. But you know, the reality is that for any type of big studio, you need to see a big return. If you've got 100 people, look at the Sony Group. I bet there's 90 or 100 people making that next game, and it's like you either totally fund that because
I think he said 80. I think in his talk.
But... yeah, I mean that's a huge amount of people to employ for a year. I don't know. I haven't got the details of everybody's wages, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was $1 million a year to run a studio that size. And at the end of the day, it takes 2 or 3 years to make a title, so you've got to see a return of what, 2 to 5 million. You know, it's like, otherwise you can't carry on going.
Well, I see. I think it's a shame, because I think both Eve Valkyrie and Spark, the newer game from, I think, one of their New York American studios, basically. But yeah, both games were really high quality, very good games, but both relied on online as well, basically.
We have to remember that while the studio might not be continuing VR today, it doesn't mean they won't in the future. It doesn't mean that at some point it won't be a viable market for them to return to. And it will.
I don't think they've said they're out of VR entirely. It's just they're downsizing their studios a bit.
Yeah, exactly. I imagine they'll come back. I imagine they'll come back at some point in the future anyway.
I think there's one article that did actually say that the London studio will still be doing VR. I guess that's sort of patches and support for the existing titles.
Yeah, possibly, but then hopefully they might see smaller projects coming out of them.
And do you know what? There's some amazing people that were doing that have got those skills that were, I happen to know that.
Yeah, that can be transferred elsewhere, and yeah.
Yeah, I happen to know one person already that is seeking VR work because they spoke to me. So they're going to move into VR studios if that's what they want to do. And I think that there's evidence that VR's cool and growing, and there's new hardware into the market as well. I mean, they're not going to disappear into nothing. They'll move into other studios, and those other studios will do great things. So that's good.
Did you get a chance to play much of the other games that were being exhibited at Develop VR as well, or were you too concentrated on showing off your stuff?
Too concentrated on showing off our own. I mean, I've played Widlands. I did play Widlands 2 at OC4, so I was fortunate in that regard. And I think, well, the only actual real other game other than Blood and Truth was the sort of prototype from the Bloody Zombies guys.
Yes, Paw Print Games. That was the one that I was going to mention quickly as well. That they asked me not to mention the working title, which is good because I've forgotten the working title anyway. But I really quite like the concept. Basically, it's a part Papers, Please and part kind of Job Simulator. You're kind of processing a queue of robots, and you've got to assess whether they're smuggling contraband or whether there's something that doesn't add up on their paperwork and stuff, basically. and whether they weigh too much or whether they've got the right identification on and all this type of stuff. And it kind of scores you on, you know, how many you correctly let through and how many you reject correctly as well. But yeah, it was a kind of quirky little concept game, and that looked really interesting. So I'm keen to see where that goes, basically.
I played the quadcopter game, which was on the next to me. I've actually seen the game before, and it keeps developing further every time I see it.
I'm not sure how you pronounce their company name. Is it Blodest? Bludest?
Oh, Be Loudest.
Be Loudest. Oh, Be Loudest. Okay, right. Yes, I kind of get it now. Right.
Interesting game. I think it felt very... I mean, it's not finished. Obviously, they're still developing. I mean, respect to him. He's working on it pretty much alone, and he works hard, and he turns up to the shows and shows things, and it's getting better constantly. So, you know, he's really working on that.
I didn't realise that they were a studio based upon their banner. I just assumed that they were a marketing agency.
Yeah.
I think he probably does both. He probably keeps his business going. I don't know that for sure, but I think I get the feeling
yeah,
that
he needs to take on
side jobs while he's doing his passion project of the game. And the game's obviously a good demo that he's able to do VR. So it's good stuff.
What kind of vehicle was it? I wasn't sure.
Well, it's like a quadcopter. It's hard to describe. It's like a helicopter thing, quadcopter.
Yeah. But it was a flight-based game, and you could battle and shoot other craft.
Yeah,
and stuff
it felt
like
a
that.
Little bit like Pilot Wings, a little bit.
Yeah.
It's just... I mean, it shows good promise for those type of games. I mean, I've played a few of those games in the past, and they haven't quite got to Pilot Wings level yet. When they do, I think I'm fully in on one of those.
I struggled with it at first, but then I got the hang of it and started shooting down other crafts and had some good fun with it. So, yeah, I hope to see him expand on that and see where that goes as well.
Basically. Yeah, there's a good market for those type of games, I think. I think Sony are bringing out, is it Ace Combat 7? That's got full VR support.
It's Bandai Namco, but yeah, I've played that as well, and that's awesome. It's got kind of the missile head tracking stuff from like Eve Valkyrie, but in a kind of more realistic setting and stuff as well. But I really enjoy kind of those kind of flight sims, especially in kind of arcade or VR settings, and yeah, that's really good. I really think that's going to be a really big hit next year, basically.
VR's incredible right now. I mean, it's sad to see a studio go, but my God, is there so much good stuff. What do you think, Sam?
There's a lot of good stuff. I can see a lot of stuff being covered.
Oh, there's a lot of crap as well. I should have said that.
Well, there's always that. But, for us, it's just having the time to actually be able to check out all the good stuff.
Well, let's dig into some good stuff, because I think both of you were there showing some good fun stuff, and in Sam's case, a bit of serious stuff as well. John, let's go with you first quickly. You're showing Windlands 2, which I didn't know you were showing there, so that was a real nice surprise.
Thank you. We like to get out and about, and especially in London, because it's so local to us, because we're based in London. Although we're all over the world, we've got people from everywhere now. From the distant Australia and Japan right through to America, three people out of Finland. So yeah, we're all over the place, but it's nice to be out and about in our own town.
And I don't think we particularly mentioned, but your SciTech Games, yeah?
SciTech Games, yes. So we have three titles, two of them published. We Crystal Rift, which was our first game. This is a dungeon crawler on HTC Vive, Oculus Rift, and Sony PlayStation VR. And Windlands, which is our second game, which is... So Crystal Rift, yeah, like traditional dungeon crawler in the vein of Eye of the Beholder and Dungeon Master, that type of thing.
Yeah, it feels like being, as I said to you, I think, it feels like being in a really old school game in the best of ways kind of thing. I really quite enjoyed it.
Very proud of it. It was our first game. A couple of us made it. It's been an awesome adventure just in that game. And it's done well. It's
very, very reasonably priced as well, I think. It makes it a no-brainer for VR just to experience
10 hour game as well. So it's like it's a proper juicy, you know, big twist at level 22. So yeah, no, it's done well for us, and we really enjoyed doing that project. It was a foundation of learning in VR.
And there's not many, not many people that I know of, at least in the VR space, that are on their third game already. No.
Well, Sam probably. Sam, you're on your third, presume.
Well, depending how you actually specialise and sort of measure a game, we've done
33rd
a number, yeah.
Games and experiences, you're probably outnumbering most people in the industry, Sam, I would say, overall.
Yeah, I think we're at about 15th at the moment.
But yeah, commercial games-wise, there's a handful of people globally that have done more than one thing.
Yeah, but not many people with you know, kind of experience in this. So what has that experience led to in Windlands 2, and what's different about Windlands 2 from the first game?
Well, Windlands 1 was very well received. It's over $1 million of revenue. It's closing in on its second $1 million of revenue. It's been an amazingly successful game for us, which we've been overwhelmed with the support for it as well. It was very, obviously we finished it, you know, back last year, published it on there. In fact, it was finished before it was published on the PlayStation. So we published basically the footage game on the PlayStation. That took us some time and we sort of came through that literally a year ago. I think the PlayStation VR was about a year in October. So yeah, just slightly over a year ago when we launched. We came off the back of that project and we really, you know, we wanted to do more. So we, you know, we started Windlands 2. We just felt like we all felt like at that stage that we'd done a really good job on Windlands, but it wasn't everything. You know, we started to get good customer feedback and it, and we ourselves started to get interested in what could we do? What should we do next?
Mm. So you've added combat this time is one of the main things.
Yeah, two big things that came to it. One thing was that everybody, including us, wanted to see Titans. You know, we'd done a good job on the robots in Windlands 1, but you couldn't interact with them. You didn't do anything with them. They were just big Titans.
Yeah.
So we wanted to see Titans that you could take down, like not quite Attack of Titan level, but you know, we wanted to see these big creatures that was, so that was something that we really wanted to do. So we started exploring and questioning how to put, you know, action elements and weapons, or, you know, how could you take down the hooks and stuff. And we ended up settling on a bow really, but it's, yeah, it's like a virtual bow where you press the grip button, your bow appears and you can sort of pull back and fire a bow. And the second thing was that we wanted to play it together. We were very aware that there was a good success in the speedrunning side of what we've made. So there's a lot of people that really enjoy the challenges at the end of Windlands where you've just logging your time against the leaderboards. But there was a big question for us as well about, you know, can we do multiplayer? Multiplayer is a hugely complex thing, especially to do in VR, especially to do with, you know, do we need avatars? Do we need, you know, all of that? But yeah, fundamentally, the biggest differences between Windlands 1 and Windlands 2 is multiplayer, and it's has action and enemies to take down.
And am I right? Is it 4-player multiplayer? Is
that well, yeah, yes, we'll release with 4-player multiplayer. Internally, we've got that uncapped, but I mean, it uses peer to peer technology. Obviously, we don't want to be spending money on expensive servers where we've already got small budgets. But it's peer to peer, voice over IP, as social as we could get it. But yeah, it's four seems a good number to settle that out before you start getting performance issues.
Yeah, yeah, and I think in VR that's a good number to kind of go for anyway, kind of thing. I mean, like, you don't need to be aiming for massive numbers.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a multiplayer game. It's essentially a one player game that your friends can come along.
And that makes it more fun.
Yeah, and everything scales up. You know, the difficulty of the bosses scales up. But you know, other than that, it's like, you know, hang out on an adventure with your friends. It's definitely an action adventure game. I mean, there are lots of other differences technically I could talk about. It's way more beautiful. We've got a whole new set of engine technology for level of detailing and baking and things. And we've got a bunch of NPCs now. So there's like 20 NPCs in total that take you through the story of the game. So that's a big difference. So like no NPCs in the first game. So it's a proper action adventure game. Similar in length, but probably slightly longer to the original game. But yeah.
Have you got a sort of date in mind for when people can expect that to be coming out, like roughly, yet, or is that
definitely 2018? As soon as possible in 2018 is the way that we're trying to do it. But you know, it won't be quarter one. It will just be after quarter one, I think. But
when it's ready.
Yeah, when it's ready.
when it's ready.
But we're doing really well. We're well on schedule. We're exactly where we wanted to be at this point in both budget and what we're producing. And this, you know, this big milestones like OC4 and Develop were huge milestones for us because we were showing stuff at Develop we've not shown before. Did we do a race?
My gameplay got slightly interrupted, but also I was getting into the swing of things and was a bit slow. Didn't get to one of the bosses, so I didn't get to play too much.
Oh yes, because the power went out, which isn't handy in the middle of a game, is it, when the power goes out and we lost all networking and everything. I recall.
No, that no power is not good for a VR event, basically.
No. But yeah, so we were testing multiplayer racing in this build. We've got the first build of that working and all the timing and the gap analysis and stuff working. So we were just testing that. So that was, that's been really positive, very good feedback. And we it's great to get out on the road and show the demo. But it also gives us an opportunity to do some testing while we're out there with public and fans and people that maybe even knew the first game. And that's what we're doing.
One of the things I found really interesting that you were saying was that, because you're in sort of disparate places, you're having meetings in the game and able to affect changes in the game from within those meetings within the game, which I thought was quite cool.
Yeah, we have a full staff meeting inside the game every Monday. You know, not everybody turns up every Monday because of different reasons, but you know, we've certainly had 8 or 9 people in there at any one point playing the games. So it's, yeah, we
that's
it's
quite
a great
fun.
I mean, we build VR from within VR as well. We've got tools for, especially at the point where we're play checking the maps, so moving bushes around, getting everything right. There's a whole tool set for moving assets around in multiplayer and testing things and rotating and all the things that you would normally do in it. But we've got like a multiplayer editor that we do.
Sounds like there's a game within itself there, like a you know, level creating.
Yeah, we've been round in circles about whether that's something we could make commercially viable.
Speaking of commercially viable, Sam, you were there showing a game that's already out, Loco Dojo, although not out on PSVR yet.
Not yet. We're working on it.
But then, yeah, also showing off a kind of construction prototype type thing for was it a telecommunications company?
It was more of an internal prototype to understand how to take a 3D database set from one very old full flight simulator engine into Unity. And rather than having to have massive multi-channel 20 grand Barco projectors and large 15 meter screens to use it, just better stick it into a VR headset.
Okay. But it was sort of a training tool as well?
Yeah, that then built onto sort of construction site health and safety, hazard awareness, allowing people to sort of safely learn without actually being on a construction site untrained and getting run over by a JCB or something, but also working from height for telecommunications and actually using the power of VR to train and make people aware of what it's like to actually climb up a monopole or, to you and me, a mobile phone mast.
I'm shaking slightly thinking about that, Sam, but it sounds epic.
We do have a sort of sweat meter that when they hand back the touch, sort of looking at the controls.
How sweaty the control is.
Sometimes they do have to be put straight into a vat of acid.
But your company, MakeReal, as well as kind of, I was going to say tangentially related to games, because Tomaker was making games now, but you're making all your games under the MakeReal license now, is that right, basically, or the MakeReal name?
Yeah, I mean, we are. We own 50% of Tomaker, 40% through the company, 10% split between the dev team, and we set that up to create Radial G back in 2014 in the mists of time when Parmalucky was still employed by Oculus and the DK1
the VR landscape was a bit different.
Yeah, we've had great success with that. We've done a publishing deal with Perp Games to bring a boxed copy of Radial G to PSVR in Europe and America. It's in the shops now, which is a fantastic reward, being able to walk into game and just see your game on the shelf out at the end of the month on November 28th in America.
Nice.
But yeah, moving forward, we want to sort of capitalize on our knowledge and build up MakeReal with that sort of dual cycle of games leading into serious work.
Yeah, and you've done a few of these sort of projects now where you're doing sort of training type stuff. I think it was EDF and McDonald's, was it previously, or was that right? Or
I was adding it up the other day for a potential serious partner of all of our current experiences available, and I think it's like 7 or 8 things we've done for EDF now. Not all VR. We don't label ourselves purely VR. We do a lot of just sort of, you know, we use all immersive technologies, which helps because there's a lot of negativity at the moment around VR. If you just Google VR, you'll get TechCrunch articles and Polygon articles and Wired and GamesIndustry.biz articles about how it's going to kill your children and how it's dead and how the bubbles burst and all the other nonsense that we all know is not true. But we've also worked, well, it's Immersive VR Education, who Nick, one of SciTech, worked with to do the original Apollo 11 VR experience.
Okay, yeah.
We took that from the Rift onto Gear VR and Daydream for them. And in Nick's own words, well, actually, I can't repeat what he said, as in how the... Did you do that? It was, you know, that's all running in full 3D based upon their code base on Gear VR. It's not just converted to a series of 360 videos.
Okay, and from the slightly, well, definitely more wacky, fun side of your work as well, you're showing Loco Dojo as well, which is a kind of minigame-based, kind of multiplayer sort of board game, basically, would you say?
Yeah, I guess the lazy way to describe it is Mario Party in VR.
Right.
But it's so much more than that.
Got more pigs.
More pigs, more spanking.
Wooden pigs.
Less mushrooms, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, that came out end of April on Oculus, mm-hmm. end of July on Steam. And we're in discussion of how to get that onto PSVR at the moment. Got a single player element and it's got a multiplayer element online, but we're also looking at how to add the sort of local pass and play multiplayer side of things so that people can play together in the same room. But it's also, it's going down really well with VR arcades, but it's just too much fun at the moment, so, and it takes too long to complete a full multiplayer game, so we're looking at how we can give VR arcades a customized option so they can set the number of rounds or the number of mini games and disable the dice roll, that kind of thing, or even have their own dedicated level that's a pure sort of maximum 10-minute session that's designed for VR arcades.
And how important do you think VR arcades are for spreading the word of VR?
I think they're always going to be a growing new entertainment sort of out-of-home experience. I don't know in the long run, sort of beyond 5 years, how much longevity they'll have in terms of like running it as a business model, but I think currently they're very, very popular and it's a great opportunity.
I'm super excited about it. Imagine the tech. I mean, they've basically got a way bigger budget than we can. I mean, they could put Cray computers in theme parks, you know, run whatever VR. And the whole, I'm sure Sam has shared some of these experiences, but the whole experience of, you know, 4D, having wind or heat or cold blowing at you or floors shaking or being in a vehicle, or, you know, you can't do that at home. And even for somebody that's got VR at home, it's hugely exciting to think, well, right, what could we do if we had unlimited budget, you know? And at the end of the day, right now, you've got the, you can go and go on a roller coaster in a proper theme park like Alton Towers or whatever, or in Six Flags in the States, and you can go on a, you know, you put a VR headset on and play, you know, pretty bad VR. It's going to be on a Gear VR or something, and it's like, it's not going to be state-of-the-art VR. And as that stuff progresses, it's almost like you don't need to build the roller coaster anymore. You know, you just have it sit in this chair with a massive robotic arm that can replicate the G's perfectly with, you know, as much money as you could throw at the headset, you know, version 5 of it. And it's like, it's super exciting where that stuff's going.
Yeah, I think we're at very early days of VR. Okay, so there's a lot of them just at the moment. They just stick some PCs in a room. And
they were stung before, so it's made it, you know, they're reticent and nervous. But I tell you what, there's a lot of them coming out. You look at the Darren Brown experience and the, you know, Japan's building a whole theme park out of this stuff. You know, it's just going to carry on growing, I think, for a long time. And this huge success at the SciTech Games Christmas Party this year is at Crystal Maze, you know, the experience of going through Crystal Maze. And it's like, those things are growing like anything, you know, they're all over the place. They're doing really well.
Yeah, the escape the room type things and stuff like that as well.
Yeah, and then you've got stuff like the cinema thing that they do in London as well, where you go on.
Secret cinema
that, you know, it's just ideally placed for going along and watching. We're having a great debate after develop actually at the bar about the Alien experience that used to be in the Trocadero Center, and like how we can't play the Alien Isolation VR mother VR conversion on the Oculus Rift or the Vive, because it's just too damn scary, right? And it's like, but this great, you know, film, you've got stuff like the new Blade Runner with a really good example of VR with, you know, full scanned bodies. And, you know, it's like, it's just starting to, and at some point, I mean, you mentioned Nick, but Nick's latest thing is called Dispatches. Did you manage to catch that yet?
I don't know. I don't think so.
But it's an absolutely incredible, I haven't watched many movies in VR, but I've usually come away really disappointed. You know, I've usually thought 360, bad scripting, not engaging, not really. He would be able to tell you more detail, but I think it's 4 20-minute-ish parts of a movie that you watch 4 of them separate. And it's like, I'm sat there watching it and it's incredible. It's engaging. It's proper VR. It's just done really well. It's produced really well. It's acted by professional actors and it's scripted by professional script. You know, it's going to win plenty of awards. And it's just like, when I think of Nick's first stuff compared to where he is now in storytelling in the last 3 years, he's come a million miles. You know, I mean, we've come a million miles, and I'm sure Sam's feeling the same. It's like VR now is, we're just warming up. You know, we're starting to get good at it. We know the fundamentals.
People are getting practice, and people that have made games already are going on that. And Blood and Truth, as we mentioned at the start of the game, is kind of some of the proof of the pudding.
Yeah, and that wouldn't exist if they hadn't have done the PlayStation World
with the London heist.
You just simply couldn't come out the gates and make a game like this game. You've got to, you know, to me, it doesn't really surprise me working on Windlands 2. It's because we were still learning during the whole Windlands. I mean, worse than that, we started Windlands with a controller only. You know, touches didn't exist and the Vive didn't exist. So it was like, so when all that came along, it was a whole new bolt in the arm of like, can we make this work at all?
But that's why I say VR is an exciting time at the moment, because every game there could be a new discovery and a new way of doing things that everyone else can learn from, basically.
Yeah, we were talking and you were saying, you know, the game overall may be a bit rubbish, but it may have like one really interesting new mechanic that adds so much more that can be then be built upon for something else.
Exactly, and it can almost be anything, that, and it's just one little thing, and then we go, oh, that's a really cool thing, we'll use that, you know? And I think it's great that we all learn from each other, and we're, you know, the rising tide and all that. You know, as there's more and more good examples of good VR, like Resident Evil, or...
It's starting to match more of the sort of console side of things. I mean, if you look at what is now coming out from the bigger studios on PlayStation, who've got a lot of standard PlayStation experience and funding and team size, the bar is being raised, and it's going to be difficult for like smaller indie teams to keep up, I think.
Do you feel the pressure with that yourselves, or are you happy in the place that you guys are because you've got some experience as well?
We're happy where we are, but I look at people coming into it now, they've got, you know, huge hurdles, massive amounts to learn very quickly.
Yeah, and the budgets are going through the roof. I mean, we cut I won't be underestimating, it's probably 10 times the budget on Windlands 2 than it was on Windlands, and that's, you know, we've had to hire people from DreamWorks, and we've had to work, you know, hire a bunch of concept artists that specialize in, you know, different things, and
character design and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. There's character design, and then there's world design, and then there's, you know, and we you know, there's no way we would have done that. But I think, yeah, the bar of VR is actually much higher now. You've got to release a good game. You've got to release a fairly lengthy game, 6 hours plus, I would say, or a really intensely good 2-hour game. You know, it's like, it's got to be super polished to command any type of respect from the audience. And
I definitely think there's a place for the kind of smaller development teams, in the fact that VR, I think, is good for small focused experiences over and above. And I mean, as I said, we've got the Blood and Truth with the big blockbusters, and they'll be good and they have their place. But I also think there's a lot of place for just smaller arcadey type experiences that work well in VR anyway.
Yeah, but I mean, if you look at that, there's still a console gamer mentality with, especially with PSVR. If you look at the Facebook PlayStation VR groups, it's just like the most common question is X game worth it?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, how do you value worth? And with a VR game, you know, it's so much more experiential and so much more than just, I don't know, $1 value for 1 hour of gameplay. And then you look at some of the Steam reviews recently. Oh, I can't remember which game it was, but this guy clocked up 90 hours of playtime, and he's like, oh, this game's not worth it.
I was like, he played it for 90 hours.
I recall that. It's, yeah, no, worth's a complicated thing, and it's down to each individual. It's not like going to a cinema paying a standard cost for every game. Games are all over the show. I mean,
but the cost of VR games does seem to be lower than... There are the odd £60 ones or there were at launch, but there doesn't seem to be that many at that sort of price range now. It seems to be £35 is about max. Maximum sort of thing, though, generally.
I think that's probably where VR is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like a good premium game is going to be $15.99 above, and the really big studios have, well, frankly, got very high production values and quality with, you know, a team of 80 people. Well, they've got to sustain that, and you can't do that on $15.99. You've really got to charge the higher and get the, you know, get the big launch and manage to sell a lot. And they're very practiced in doing that.
And I think it's that level of games that will track the headlines and make the people that are saying, where are the games, like when I'm buying like a couple of games a week type of thing. But it will make those people kind of pay a bit more attention. But I do hope there's place for both in the marketplace, no?
If you came into VR right now and bought your headset for the first time, I think you would be overwhelmed at the amount of quality headsets. No matter what games. Quality headsets as well, yeah. Frankly. You're going to have a tough decision deciding which one you're going to go for, but you know, you'll decide on which one you have. And then actually you can open the store and go, right, okay, which ones of these are good? And you've got 30 good ones that are really, really amazing production values, quality games. Yeah, you've got really amazing games. And then you've got a whole bunch of stuff that you may be interested in because it's a bit more niche. You know, you may be really into, I don't know, battle tanks or into, you know, some type of niche RPG game or something. And that's there too. And then there's a ton of stuff at the lower end to play with.
Yeah, just mess around with it. There's a lot of free stuff as well, which is good value stuff to mess around with as well.
Loads of amazing free. There is some of the best things are free. You've got Rec Room. It's like there's tons and tons of free stuff comes with the headsets.
I still haven't played Rec Room yet because that hasn't come out on PSVR, but that's one where lots of people can play together and there's like questing and different mini games and yeah, all sorts of stuff basically.
I have my personal list of things I'm playing or things I just buy and I work through and get to the end of because I really, you know, a relevant of developing VR, I am a fan of gaming full stop, you know, gaming full stop, but I probably spend, I would say 70% of my time doing VR over the other stuff. But I've recently got Doom on the Switch and Mario Odyssey on the Switch. I've got all the other consoles, but I'm mostly on the Switch right now because I just think it's easier for me because I can pick up.
I've been playing a bit of Mario Odyssey as well. It's quite good fun.
Well, I can use it in my downtime. It's very easy to pick it up and use it in downtime all while traveling. But yeah, I've just finished Lone Echo. Thoroughly enjoyable, great game.
Oh, yeah, that's supposed to be good. That's one I really want to come to PSVR as well.
I've had the pleasure of having an early beta key for, beta key for the From Other Suns, and I've been playing that and I think it's amazing, just incredible. You know, it's basically Faster of Light in VR, and until you've had a headset for a while it's hard to explain just how much better gaming is in VR. But there's other stuff that I'm totally turned off by, you know. I don't want to go, it's like anything that requires my physical fitness, like that one where you run along a corridor, you know, you run along, what's it called? No, it's not Spark, it's the other one. It's like
Sprint Vector,
right? It requires actual physical fitness.
See, I quite like the look of that. I know I'll put knacker myself out playing it, but I like the look of it.
Oh, it's like I can't do one race until I'm exhausted and panting on the floor and I just completely and utterly shaken up for the rest of the hour.
Can have quite a good workout playing Super Hot VR, I found as well. Yeah. When you're standing up and running around.
But you know, things like Audio Shield or whatever, where you're listening to music and you just can do it at your pace. Great fun. Amazing fun. Now, I can't get enough of VR, and I'm really genuinely excited when new stuff comes out from other people. And I get the pleasure of meeting them sometimes and you know, being able to shake the hand and you know, them doing the same with me. Us, I suppose, with Windlands, there are plenty of fans, aren't there?
Well, yeah. Well, I was about to say, that was one of the nice things about Develop VR overall, is it feels like quite a small personal kind of event, but I get to meet some of these people that have made experiences which kind of made me a believer in VR and have kind of cemented my belief. And yeah, playing your guys' games definitely does that as well. So thank you very much for it.
Yeah, as time goes on, more and more good stuff come out.
You can certainly see the some of the older traditional console gaming stalwarts circling and starting to move into the VR space, though.
I very rarely come across anybody while we're stood at EGX for an entire day. I mean, these are probably bad examples because mostly these are gamers, that says, no, I'm perfectly happy with my 2D screen and, you know, I never want to play with VR ever and I'm not really interested. They've usually got a reason why, and it's either because, you know, they haven't seen anything that they want to buy yet, or the cost of the headset, or the fact that they need a powerful PC, or they're worried about, you know, nausea in the game, or they're worried, you know, they've heard from a friend of a friend of a friend that, you know, the next version's coming out soon, they shouldn't buy now, or they're, you know, it's like there's always some reason, and I think those reasons are slowly eroding, and there's more and more great content, the headsets are getting cheaper, the hardware's getting cheaper as well, and, you know, frankly, at some point you're able to buy a PC without it being in the box, and it'll be a good quality, and then round two will come along and you get bigger for, you know, like Primax.
Well, the new PSVR disc, it's the new demo disc came out recently, and that had a few games that aren't out yet, like The Persistence and a few other things. But I got to play Moss, which I'd already played, which I think is going to be fantastic, and Starchild, which I wasn't that massively interested in, but having played that demo, that looks really good as well, basically. But yeah, I do think, like, in general, like, the future of VR, there's so many games I'm looking forward to, and I would say there's now more VR games I'm looking forward to in the future than there are flat screen games, as I generally refer to them at the moment. There's a few big ones which still attract my attention, but VR's definitely my major passion, has got my major focus, and I find it hard sometimes going from a VR game to a flat screen game, and I feel less immersed and less able to concentrate on just that thin field of view type thing.
I've certainly got better memories recently from my VR stuff than I am from my 2D stuff, so I don't know. I just feel like you evolve over time, and I don't think it's one or the other, though. I mean, I've just listed a few games I've brought on both platforms, and it's like, this, it's okay that they live side by side. They don't have to, you know, VR isn't here to dominate and, like, stamp it out. People still sit down and have a perfectly pleasurable time on their SNES Classic playing the original Super Mario. You know, it doesn't mean that Super Mario World and Super Mario Odyssey doesn't exist. You know, it's like, it's fine. You know, this isn't a one or the other. I mean, we should be absolutely in awe at the growth of gaming, full stop. It's, you know, it's an amazing time to be in games. There's an amazing history of games.
It's been an amazing year for games overall, generally. And VR's been some of my highlights of the year, but it's just generally been a great year for games.
You know, who would have thought pub games would come along and suddenly have more concurrent users and on Steam than any other game in 3 months? You know, it's like it's just starting, and you know, you can fill up 100 people on a server within like a second. You know, it's like, it's scary how many people are online at any one point. And they're, you know, they're not all the people gaming right now. If you took in all the Destiny 2 players and all the, you know, at the same time, and all the Dota players and all the, you know, there are billions, I imagine, but hundreds and hundreds of millions of people online or offline playing games.
Well, all of the gamers who used to play MMOs have to do something, I guess.
But, well, hopefully they're all going to come play some VR. I'm afraid we have to wrap it up there, gentlemen. I could literally talk VR all day, but we are a little bit over time. But thank you very much for joining us. Absolute pleasure. I'm very glad I got to play your games. Both of them look really good fun, and I'm really looking forward to playing them on PSVR when they're out. Just remind everyone where they can find you and where and when they can find your games. John?
SciTechGames.com. That's the best place to find us and all of our handles.
And on Twitters and Facebooks and everything, yep. And Sam?
MakeReal.co.uk, LocoDojoGame.com, or me on Twitter, VR_Sam.
Well, thank you very much for joining us. Pleasure seeing you at Develop VR. It was a good conference for me. I hope it was for you guys. And yeah, I'll catch up with you again soon, hopefully near the release of your games.
See you at the next one.
Cheers. Thanks for having us.
Oh, my sweet mercy me. I told you it was going to be a damn good interview. Sam and John, aren't they lovely chaps? Tim's all right too, I guess. Anyway, before I go, I'm going to give you a couple of those social details that were given out on the show. So first of all, for Sam Watts and for Make Real, if you want to check out Make Real, you can go to their website, which is makereal.co.uk. And also on Twitter, they are at MakeRealVR. And if you want to check out Sam, go give him a follow. Go chat to that man. He is a very nice man. VR_Sam on Twitter. And for John Hibbins, Tim's estranged cousin, I'm pretty sure. I listened to that podcast, and you can't really hear it, but those guys talk, you know, Tim and John, they separated at birth, I swear. Those two are related. We just don't know. Even Hibbs and Hibbins. It's pretty close. Anyway, SciTech Games, they are scitechgames.com, and you can find them on Twitter at scitechgames. And you can find John himself on Twitter, very nice man, at Hibbins. Man, that is a cool Twitter handle, getting your surname as a Twitter handle. I wish I could do that, but unfortunately, Coleman is a pretty common name and was taken by every combination I could think of for Coleman. Took me ages to get a cool Twitter handle. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. If you want to follow Tim on Twitter, you can at BRBTim as well. Also, Big Red Barrel, that's on Twitter, Big Red Barrel on Facebook, Big Red Barrel on Reddit, all the Big Red Barrels on all the big different places, and of course, BigRedBarrel.com, the place you should go to check out all the fine podcasts, all the fine writing, amazing videos, and cool other stuff like that.
This has been a bonus episode of the Big Red Barrel UK podcast. I have been Coleman, that has been Tim, that has been Sam, that has been John. And until next time, dear listeners, next week, in fact, myself, Dan and Tim, all back to normal, peas and a bob, love it. Until next time, dear listeners, goodbye.
Your ears are quite welcome
for the podcasting goodness that you just heard.
Why not roll on over
to BigRedBarrel.com
for more podcasts,
news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.